You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is the art of well-being. We want to focus on where that sense of well-being can best begin, and that's at home. Our parents had a lot of influence on how we turned out, and as parents and grandparents, we want to do the best job we can for our kids and their future. So I immediately thought of a University of Michigan grad and local parenting expert in Southeast Michigan, Nancy Serlin. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to be here.
A lot of stress and strife in the world today, and it seems many people are having a tough time coping. And I recently had a conversation with an Ann Arbor psychologist who suggested better parenting as one of the solutions to the world's woes right now. What do you think about that?
I think he's absolutely right. I think that children are under a lot of stresses today, as the parents are. And I think they need to figure out a way to cope with it. I've always called it Plan B, but we talk about resiliency and kids learning how to fail and how to be okay with it and how to deal with the consequences.
Who taught you about Plan B?
Actually, my father.
Your father, who was the former public health director for the state of Michigan, Dr. Maurice Risen. Got to give him a shout out.
Yep.
About to turn 100, right?
He's going to be 100,
yes.
Still in there. He's still on the computer every day.
So he did a good job with you, and you did a good job with your two sons, one of them, Dr. David Serlin, here in Ann Arbor. So,
yes.
As parents, we're always under a lot of stress. How do we not pass that along to our children?
We have to figure out how to cope with stress. We have to do something to role model for our children. I always tell the parents, do something you're really bad at, like go roller skating or ice skating or play soccer, and let the children see that you're terrible at it, and you're okay with that. I'm just out here to have fun. We don't always have to be successful. So they need to learn that there will be consequences, and they could be negative, but it's not the end of the world. They just go to Plan B.
I don't think parents realize how much the kids are really watching them and what role, what you can say something to your kid, but they're really watching you. What you do may have more of an impact on them, what you say to them.
You're absolutely right. It's not what you say, it's what you do. I remember with my son, he said, "Mom, can I talk to you?" And I happened to be reading the paper, and I said, "Sure, you can." But he knew I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed a rapport that when he wanted to talk to me, he'd ask, and I'd tell him when I was available to give him 100% of my time. So that's how we worked it out.
Nancy is big on kids learning from consequences, and sometimes that means failing.
Absolutely. So they learn, oh, that was not so good, didn't go the way I wanted to, but maybe next time you'll make a better choice. And that's how we teach kids to make good choices, is by making bad choices.
How do they learn from that?
Well, if a kid makes a bad decision and the consequences are, uh-oh, I didn't like that, they'll learn that next time I might make a different choice.
Do you think it's tougher to be a kid in 2018 than it was perhaps when we were growing up?
Absolutely. There is so much more with social media, bullying on the computers, the cell phones with Twitter and tweeting. And I'm not on any of those purposely. I think it clutters my life too much. But Facebook, I know that's how the kids communicate. And I think the parents really have to know what their kids are doing on the computers. The computers really should be in a central area in like the living room or a den where parents can walk by and see what their kids are doing.
I think that's a tough one. That's changing how much screen time kids have.
You need to get a handle on it as a parent, because there's so many bad things that have been happening with phones and screen time. And I think we tell the kids, we own all that stuff. It's ours. We bought it. We're lending it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So every day you have to earn it. So you did your homework the night before, you did your chores, great. Tomorrow you get your phone and your computer for a day.
So you're saying cell phones and Facebook time should be a privilege.
Exactly.
Good luck with that.
I know, but that's why kids are so empowered and they think they should have everything. Their kid gets 16 and they want a brand new car. Well, did you have a brand new car when you were 16?
Mm-mm.
And who's going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
They're entitled.
I worry about that. You see people, kids and adults, staring at their phones and devices. Me too. But I know how to interact with other human beings. Are they losing out on learning facial interaction with other human beings?
I think there's two things going on. Number one, it's dangerous. I'll be driving in a parking lot and there'll be a person who's on their phone and stopped right in the middle, totally unaware of what's going around her. And then kids are losing that face-to-face social cues and interaction and inflection. You can't put that on a phone, but you can do it in person.
So it's good to limit it.
I think so.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to Nancy Serlin is because of suicide is such a big topic right now. And what do we do with our kids? What do we say to them? How do we approach that topic with children?
I think that's a really important topic. Number one, we can't be afraid to talk about it. There's no evidence that said if you talk about suicide or depression that it causes it. As a matter of fact, I think it does the opposite. Kids need someone to talk to when they're upset or sad or angry. And you need to make a comment like, wow, you look really angry. Is there anything I can do to help? Or you look really sad. You don't grill children. They hate that. Mm-hmm. You make a statement. And if the child can open up to you, they will. So you want to be that parent who the child feels they can talk to, and you can talk them through what the issue is and see if you can come up with a solution together.
Is it ever too late to open that line of communication with your child?
I don't think so. I'm not a psychologist, but I would say don't ever give up on your child, to always try to keep those lines of communication open so the child feels they can come to you.
And you've brought some new terms with you, Nancy Serlin, parenting expert. We knew about helicopter parents, but Nancy came in and told me about snow plowing parents and teacup kids. That sounds like a new Disney movie.
Well, I think it does. I was reading an article by Julie Fisher, who has a master's in education, and she said some very interesting things that I had never heard before. She says snowplow parents plow everything out of the way so their child has a clear path without any potholes, bumps, or chunks of ice to step over.
So that's back to that letting them fail thing.
Exactly.
That I have such a hard time with.
And teacup children are essentially kids without adequate coping skills, and their lack of resiliency leads them to break under the slightest pressure. Granted, parents who are worried about feeding their kids and getting medical care and living, these are not their main things to worry about. But we want kids to be able to survive in the world and be successful, and we need to help them do that.
How do you teach your kid resiliency?
I'm glad you asked that. We have to change our expectations, to step back and allow our children to fail and to be okay with their stumbles and disappointments. And it's really hard as parents to know your child's making a mistake and to bite your tongue.
Right.
Remember, a good parent is measured by the number of bite marks in their tongue.
Is that what it is?
What you say to yourself is, anything good going to come out of what I'm just going to say?
I think that's true in any situation,
especially
really.
In marriage.
Yes.
And the answer is always no.
Right.
Nothing good is ever going to come out of this. We want the children to learn, wow, that doesn't look like it turned out so well for you. Would you make a different choice next time?
You're big on that. That's a good thing to say to children.
Jim Fay was a parenting expert, and when I taught classes, he was our guru because we felt he had the best style of parenting. It was called parenting with love and logic. So there's no yelling and there's no anger. And it was feel free to watch TV after you've done your homework. Feel free to do this after. So the children are making the decision. And when they tell you you're the meanest parent in the world, you say probably so. But you made the decision. You didn't do your chores. So, you know, no TV today, but I hope tomorrow you'll make a better choice.
So it's all about empowering the kids.
Yes, exactly. That they're making the decisions, you're not. And parents who make too many children's decisions for them are often depressed and fail because they feel they have no control over their lives.
That's a good point to leave us with. Nancy Serlin, a parenting expert, University of Michigan graduate. Thank you so much for joining us on Art and Soul with your great advice. We'll try to follow that as best that we can.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here.